Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Alexa, who is Adam Ferrara?
Adam Ferrara is an American actor and comedian known for playing the roles of Chief Needles Nelson on Rescue Me, Sergeant Frank Fiorelli opposite Edie Falco on Nurse Jackie. He was a co-host on the U.S. version of Top Gear. He has had 3 Comedy Central specials and his new album is called It's Scary in Here. Adam's new podcast is a big hit and available everywhere.
Sounds like it could be funny.
Sounds to me like 30 minutes you'll never get back.
Honey, they're here!
Now we can start the show. And we have a great show for you this week. My guest in the ADD interview is a comedian, podcaster, and he co-hosts one of my favorite new podcasts along with friend of the show, H. Foley, called Are You Garbage? And his name is Kevin Ryan. And we want to welcome everyone from our Talk to Me Tuesday family. That's our conversation we have every week, 9 o'clock Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. Go to my website, click the link, and join us. And our superfan shout-out is for Kelly Lewis. Say hi to Kelly, everybody.
Hello, Kelly.
Kelly. How you doing?
And if Phil was here, Kelly, he would say hello, too. But Phil is out on assignment, which means he doesn't get internet where he is, so he's missing the show. That's pretty much what it is. But Kelly, I just want you to know that we're thinking of you. And as always, Kelly, please remember.
She's a friend of ours.
And she sent us a nice email. And honey, if they want to get a hold of us, where can they go?
TheAdamFerrara@gmail.com.
Yes. Kelly, that beautiful voice belongs to my wonderful wife, Alex. And this voice belongs to my pal and pod producer, Mark. They saw him coming stern.
What's that supposed to mean?
Okay. So this actually fits into... a question that me and Kevin Ryan went over in the interview, so it works out well. And the question is, all right, what's important to you? What will you spend money on? So Mark was on the phone the other day. We were just talking, and he was very excited about a new purchase he made. And he started telling me the story, and I went, okay, hold it. One, we can use it for the show, and two, I don't think anyone's going to believe this, so let's just hash this out, all right?
Right.
Okay. So Mark was very excited because he bought himself a toaster.
Okay.
All right. Now, let me ask you something. What do you think a good toaster should cost?
Just toasting?
Yes. Not a toaster oven. I asked the same question. Just your regular two-piece pop-up toaster. Yes, Marcus?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. Two-piece pop-up toaster.
If I want to splurge, maybe 65.
65?
Yeah.
Okay.
Splurging.
All right. Diamond Jim. For me... It's $50 and I want a loaf of bread. All right. So Mark called me up and how much did you spend on a 2-piece pop-up toaster?
I got a deal for $279.
How much is it regular?
$300.
$300.
That's a $300 toaster.
Yeah. So if you break it down, that's $150 a piece.
All it does is toast.
That's all it does is toast, right?
There's a clock on it, so it does tell time.
Okay. It toasts and it tells time. Yeah. That's what it does for
$300. $279, thank you very much.
Okay, and you're excited about this. So tell me what makes, first of all, what's the name of this toaster?
This toaster is called, it's from a company called Revolution. Mm-hmm. It's a Revolution digital toaster. It's unlike any toaster you have ever seen in your life before.
Okay.
Okay. Well, how do I describe this? It does just toast toast, but it gives you the options on this digital menu of a Pop-Tart, a waffle, a bagel, or regular toast. You select it, then you can move like a cursor that allows you how dark you want it or how light you like toasted you want it. Mm-hmm. You hit that, you hit start. Within a minute, it comes up, and it's perfectly done every single time.
You know what, Mark? After hearing all that, I was right. You're a putz.
That's pretty harsh.
Oh, man.
I mean, I will give you this. It's a well-traveled toaster. Apparently, it knows Danish.
Mm-hmm. Okay, listen. I recognize I might have paid more money than most people will pay for a toaster, but it makes you feel so great because they send you all this literature that's like, welcome to the revolution. You feel like you're really part of something. You're like, yeah, this is the new wave. This is how toast is going to be done. This is how our grandchildren will be like, yes, this is the forerunner of great toast in the world.
Mark, I think you've joined a toaster cult.
Yeah, he did.
I think so.
He did. As he's chewing toast, the next conversation I'm going to have is, you don't understand, man. Okay.
Hey, man, you just don't get it, man. This is how we do it in the revolution, brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question, Mark?
Please.
Who invited you to this cult?
Yeah. What happened? Was there a guy with a tambourine eating a piece of bread? What?
No, I was over at Kornheiser's house, and we were getting ready to do the show, and he said, here, I want you to try this. And I looked at this appliance. I was like, what the hell is this? Mm-hmm. This is like, you know, space age stuff. He puts the toast in, comes up a minute later, butters it. And I'm like, this is the best damn piece of toast I've ever had. I'm buying one of these today.
Okay, Mark, you did drop the Tony Kornheiser name. Mm. So that does give it a lot of cred.
Okay, yeah. But what Mark doesn't tell you is, and I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, is Tony didn't spend a dime for his toaster, did he?
No, he didn't.
Yeah, they sent it to him. And they said, listen, show the people in your life this toaster. We'll cash in.
Listen.
What?
What happened yesterday, Adam?
What?
What happened? What smell was in the house?
Oh, all right. So
tell Mark.
I burnt the toast yesterday.
He not just burnt the toast.
All right, listen, but
it was almost on fire.
It wasn't almost on fire. All right.
I had to take the toaster outside so the smoke alarm would not go off.
Okay. You know what? I'll tell you what. If you give me $300, I'll never eat bread again. How's that?
I'm just saying, maybe if we had this revolution, we would never.
Mark doesn't tell you. Okay. What Mark doesn't tell you about the revolution is since he got this, he's been eating bread every day and he's up 30 pounds. He doesn't tell you that.
Oh, well, that's not good. That's not good.
I'm going to ask you, Adam, can you put a price on peace of mind? Uh-huh. I don't think you can, right? Now you'll never worry about burning your house down with this toaster.
I'll be honest with you. I never worried before. There's no... But it comes back to the question, all right, what will you spend money on? Apparently, Mark will spend money on a toaster that does the same thing as every other toaster, but because he gets letters from his friends, he feels like he's joined a revolution. He's ready to kill Bolsheviks. I get it.
Da. Yes, comrade.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I think it was someone he respected, has a cool appliance, and I get sucked in like that, too.
Really?
Yeah.
You are never going over Tony Kornheiser's house. I don't need you coming home going, you know what Tony got? Look. We need this. It's a juicer and toenail clipper. It's only $800.
I would never get that out of him.
Yeah, right.
Well, can I tell you? He's got an attachment on it to make paninis. I don't even know how that works. Yeah.
Wow.
So I'm telling you, this thing, Alex, you want to be part of revolution. We'll work on Adam later.
We'll talk later, Mark.
Mm. Yes.
But this is the question. What will you spend money on? I spend money on stuff like, you know, surgery. You don't skimp on it.
Well, hopefully you don't need surgery.
Right. But surgery, brakes for the car.
Yeah, I think I'd put brakes for the car first. No, no surgery.
Yeah. And you know what? And comfort. I will tell you this. Comfort, too. One of the things I hit in this interview with Kevin is things on the road, being comfortable on the road, my own comfort. And it's accentuated if you're coming with me. Like, Mark, if Alex is coming with me, all right, we get the better seats. We'll get the better hotel room. And I'll go to the bathroom in the lobby because I don't want to buy candles for the hotel. So
that's the way he saves money.
Yeah, I save money. Should we get a suite? Nah, I'll go dump downstairs.
Dump.
Yeah, but sometimes you want to lay a little extra money out for the comforts to make you feel maybe just like a little bit more like you're at home when you're away from home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, what are you going to spend money on?
You know, I spend money on bird seed.
Yeah.
It gives me great pleasure to go and watch the birds eat.
Yeah, her creatures. So we get these friggin' animals eat better than I do. So you know what they're getting? Now the birds get $300 toast. Thank you very much. I will tell you this. It also depends on your frame of mind. You were in a bad toast mood when you were shown this, right?
A bad toast mood?
I don't know. This is the world he lives in. I'm just repeating what I heard.
Yes, I was in a bad toast place. Okay, I had a bad toaster relationship, and it was bringing me down. And I saw the light, and I joined the revolution. What more can I tell you, brother?
Okay, I can identify with that because remember I told you guys a story when I got in a fight on Sunset Boulevard, and they stole my bike.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh
so
yeah.
I went back to the bike store where I bought the bike. The next day, I got a black eye. My hands are still swollen. I'm beat up. And the guy goes, what happened? I go, never mind. I need a new bike. All right. I want that. What do you got? 20 speeds, 21 speeds. I want one with 25. I want 25 speeds. I want a heater. I want the turbocharge. No, forget it. Supercharge. I want constant power, mirrors. I want everything on this thing. So I was purchasing out of anger.
Because you didn't want that bad bicycle experience, just like Mark didn't want that bad toast experience.
I wanted to take my power back because I was physically assaulted. Mark was disappointed in bread products. I think there's a difference.
Slight difference.
Yeah.
You say tomato, I say tomato. Anyway.
But the point is, it's what will you spend money on? And Kevin Ryan and I agreed on that point in his comfort, you know? And I really enjoyed talking to him. He's a very funny guy. So you guys listen to this, and we will see you on the other side.
Welcome to the revolution in heating technology. It's called the R180, the world's first high-speed smart toaster from Revolution Cooking. It heats up and toasts faster than conventional toasters, offers precise, consistent browning, and locks in the moisture and flavor of more than just bread. The best thing since sliced bread now toasts it. The R180 from Revolution Cooking.
If you give me $300, I'll never eat bread again. How's that?
You're listening to the Adam Ferrara podcast. This is 30 minutes you will never get back.
Okay, is Adam here?
Tell her I'm not in.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
I have got some stand-up dates for you. August 17th, I'm going back to New York City, and I will be at the Cutting Room. That's right, the Cutting Room in New York City, August 17th. August 20th and 21st, I will be at Point Pleasant, New Jersey, at Uncle Vinny's Comedy Club. They added a show on Saturday, so I got one Friday, two Saturday. Please come down. I will make you laugh. August 28th, I'm going to be in San Diego at the Hotel Solamar. Yes, Hotel Solamar, August 28th in San Diego, and September 24th and 25th. I'm going back to Burbank, California to Flappers Comedy Club. There's a link for tickets right here in the show notes, or you can go to my website and click the link there. And as always, if you can make any of these gigs, please, you know I want you to come up after the show because I want to thank you for all the love and support you've shown me and this podcast. Hey, go on. Get out of here.
Pay attention when I'm talking to you, boy.
ADHD, it's not just for kids.
Nice
boy but doesn't listen to a word you say.
Welcome to the ADD interview. It's not that you're not interesting, it's just that I can't focus. And my guest this week is...
Oh, look, a bird!
My guest this week is a stand-up comic and podcaster who, along with friend of the show H. Foley, hosts one of my new favorite podcasts called Are You Garbage? He's from Philadelphia. He washes his car with a squeegee. He got a henna tattoo down the shore, and he shops on the internet low to high. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Kevin Ryan. How are you, my friend?
Hey, what's up, man? Thanks for having me. That is by far my favorite intro I've ever gotten in my my whole entire entertainment career.
Well, thank you, pal. And I am a big fan of the show. So if you could, why don't you give everybody the thumbnail of what the podcast Are You Garbage is all about?
Sure. We ask, it's comedians or whoever. We ask our guests questions about how they grew up.
Mm-hmm.
To find out kind of where they're from. And it's like stuff that you've never really thought about. You know, if you drink milk with dinner, kind of like what you got on your SATs.
Mm-hmm.
When did you get your passport for the first time? You know, stuff like that. Just to find out about their upbringing and stuff like that. And we found it leads to stories that they've never told before.
Mm-hmm.
Or that they've never thought about, because you know, sometimes you go on a podcast or you're like, oh, I have this story that I know works, I told somewhere else type thing. Or like we get these stories that they're like, oh shit, I haven't thought about this in, you know, 15 years or something. So you get these cool, genuine moments out of it.
Yeah, that's what I like about it. And I was talking to Foley about the same thing. It's a great, it levels the playing field with people. And mm-hmm. I think it's a great idea. So you grew up in Philly.
Yeah, right outside of Philly. I was born in the city and then in the suburbs right outside of Philly.
Mm-hmm. And now, was there brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I have an older brother and sister, so I was the youngest. And then my parents got divorced. My dad got remarried and had two younger. So now I also have two younger brothers that are significantly younger.
Mm-hmm.
I think the biggest age gap between my sister, who's the oldest, and my youngest half-brother is 21 years.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, I remember we went to the hospital, I think on my first younger brother's birth.
Mm-hmm.
And like the security guard, it was like, letting, you know, it was only like family and friends at the time or something, you know, and the security guard's like, yeah, congratulations, grandpa, to my dad. And I'm like, ooh, we are in it right now, baby. We are in it.
It's nice when you can drive your baby brother home from the hospital. I think that's
I was 16. I had just got my license. Yeah.
Now, was there funny in the house growing up?
There was, man. It's a big Irish Catholic, you know, very blue collar family that I come from. And it's like, I mean, my mom's one of nine.
Mm.
And it's like my uncles to me are the funniest people in the world. Like, you know what I mean? Now that like I've been a comedian for, you know, 10 years or whatever, and we're starting to have some success. It's like I go home and they just, it's like job site humor. You know what I mean? They just crush me.
Yeah.
Like I think I'm pretty good. I come in, I get a couple beers in me. I'm like, all right, I'm holding court. You know, I'm like bebopping and scatting. And then one of my older uncles just like pulls my card real quick. And embarrasses me in front of everybody.
I had the same thing. I gravitated towards you because I got the impression that we're kind of a similar. We had a similar kind of childhood. You're Irish and I'm Italian. And I pulled one of these jokes of yours that I like. I want to play right now.
I'm 100% Irish. I grew up with a lot of Italian kids, though. And I have one problem with my Italian friends. They always try to convince me that they know people in the mob. Every single one of them. I was watching a mob movie the other day with my buddy, and he leaned in. He's like, yo, dude. Back in the day, they used to call my uncle Joey the Wrench. I'm like, yeah, he's a fucking car mechanic, you asshole. He's a manager of Pep Boys. I'm falling for that shit. And I'm Irish, I can't do that. I can't be sitting there watching TV and a Lucky Charms commercial comes on. Like, yo, you see that dude? Just like my dad.
Okay. Why I love that is because I had the same experience and I'm in that family. My cousin would always go, I had a problem with this guy once. And my cousin's like, hey, you want I should make a call? I'm like, you work for the water company. Who the hell are you going to call?
Yeah. There's this weird romance with Italians.
Yeah.
That they, like, They never say like, oh, obviously I'm not connected, but I know it's always alluding to how close the relationship is to someone that can beat you up or get you something, you know?
Yeah. But it was the same. Like in listening to the show, your family, you said you always had a guy. We always had a guy.
Oh God. Yeah. You never go like even to the, like if it's anything from a car or like, you know, if you're like, I need tires, it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, go over there. Like we would just bought used tires. We just went to like a warehouse and bought used car tires for years. It never made, you know, I didn't know that was weird until people are like, you're buying used tires.
Yeah. But we always had a guy. It's like my aunt would run the deli. So that's where you went for breakfast. We would have like my brother was in a restaurant business, so you would always go. We never got a check. You would just grease the help, you know?
Of course. Yeah, yeah. Take care of the kids. Take care of the
guys.
Yeah,
that's it. Take care. Listen, what a great meal you get. Hey, dude, this is for you. A little something for you. Go get yourself an ice cream. Thank you very much.
Yeah. It's weird because like we're finding out now that that's way more common kind of than you. And like we're finding a lot of these people, a lot of the comedians have the same stories or it's also you're finding things that was so normal to you that you're finding out you're like, oh, not everybody bought used tires or whatever. You know what I mean? Like we're finding these like we're having these revelations as adults that we just thought things were so normal, but it's not.
No, it's not. It's dysfunction that we use to mine for profit and exercise our pain in front of an audience. That's pretty much what we're doing.
Sure. I was home. I just went down. I went down to the Jersey Shore. My family had, like a big family party. It was like everybody. I mean, there's hundreds of us at this point. Cause, you know, there's like 20 some cousins. They're all now married. They all have 3 or 4 kids. So there's, you know, there's so many of us and we were all there. It was like an open bar, of course. And like, we're sitting there and I'm like, I'm looking at my younger cousins who are like, you know, in their mid 20s or something. And I was just like, I wouldn't be shocked if somebody gets in a fight with a cousin. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if this ends in a headlock at some point.
And we're off.
Oh, yeah.
We had something else similar in our childhood. I worked for my dad and you worked for your dad.
Oh, devastating, dude. I mean, it's really a relationship. Really, we don't even talk anymore. We don't talk to him. I haven't talked to him in like, and it's so funny. And that is such a trashy thing to me, but like lovable, like, you know, it's just like,
sure,
not in a bad way, but it's so like, it's always like a construction company, a deli. Yeah. You know, it's never like, oh, my dad works for the Pentagon. Let's bring in, you know, let's bring in my 14-year-old son to crack the case. Like it's always like, here, you're unloading stuff. And a lot of times in small, like smaller family businesses, money is stress, you know, money is tight. Running a small business is incredibly hard, incredibly difficult. And then you enter like all the family politics in that. My mom was like, do not go work for your dad. Do not do it.
Your mom advised against it.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, at this point, she was divorced for like 20 years. She was done with work. Yeah, man. Working for family is.
I did it my whole life.
Oh, man.
What did your dad? What was the business? What did your dad do?
It was construction. It was mechanical contracting, so like heating and plumbing and stuff like that.
I did kitchens and bathrooms. He's like,
yeah, there you go. You know,
I had friends. There was the rich kids' neighborhood where we went to trick or treat because you got the full size candy bar,
got the bigger candy.
Yeah, so we would go there for Halloween, and then there was my neighborhood. Kevin, they all went to camp. I went to work. My father's like, you want to do arts and crafts? Today, you're going to take that hammer and you're going to design a hole in that sheetrock and rip this place out.
I remember just waiting to turn 16. Mm-hmm. My brother was a couple of years older than me. I was dying to turn 16 so I could get my license and drive the truck.
Yeah.
Like, to make the deliveries to the job sites and stuff. And I'm like, oh, man, my dad was probably paying him like, you know, $7 an hour, $10 or something. And I'm like, man, I'll be bringing home $300 a week. You won't be able to tell me shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was waiting too, because I got my license. So I would run, you know, supplies and stuff to the job. So this is how garbage I am. My mother always had a Cadillac because that was my father's thing. They were never new. They were used, right?
Sure. But that's such a telling thing. You got to get a Cadillac. And that's where, like, that meant so much to your dad to be able to, like, I got my lady in a Cadillac. I'm a Cadillac guy. We're a Cadillac family. You can't tell me nothing.
That was it. It was used. Some guy probably was shot in the passenger seat, you know.
Bullet holes are still in there.
Yeah. So it was this 70 Coupe DeVille, this Army tank green, right? We're home. and my mother flicked a Benson and Hedges out the window. Kevin, we thought it went out the window. Looped around, landed in the back seat. We know nothing. We go to bed, wake up in the morning. There's black smoke coming out of, because we could see the driveway out of the kitchen window. Black smoke coming out of the Cadillac. Like we elected a pope. Oh, Papa! Right? Me and my father go outside, but it's smoldering. It's not burning. It's just smoldering. Opens it up. The smoke is billowing out. It's just this acrid smell. We put it out, take the seat out, and my father figured out, because we took the back seat out, we can get lengths a half-inch copper pipe would fit in the trunk through the scaffolding, the frame of the window of the back seat, and rest underneath the dashboard. So that became the plumbing truck. So I was running supplies in a 70 Cadillac that smelled like a crime scene. I mean, I probably, God forbid you get cancer, but that's what that thing smelled like. You could smell the car coming before you heard it.
That's so funny. I never met anyone. We did the same thing, dude. I had a Dodge 15 million Ram, whatever. And it broke down all the time. And we went to like Enterprise and we couldn't get a actual truck. Mm-hmm. So they gave us like a Dodge Neon. Dude, I literally have a neon blue Dodge Neon. Me and my brother are dry. He's behind me. He's in the back seat of the car. I'm in the front seat, and we have lengths of copper pipe, half inch copper pipe, just holding it out, like just driving down the street like this with the hazards on. And I'm just like, what are we? It was so normal to me. And now I look back, I'm like, you look like crazy. If I were to drive by two guys doing that today in a Dodge Neon, I'd be like, oh, these are crazy people.
Yeah. Oh, but it was normal. That's what just what you did. That's how you get through it. This is how we're going to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a mechanical ability?
I'm pretty good. I mean, I'm currently looking at curtains that I hung for my wife that are about to fall out of the wall. So I'm pretty good. I'm all right. At this point, I've ruined so many things. And now that I have a couple of bucks, I'm like, I'm paying the guy $100.
That's it. All right, here's what I'm doing. I don't have the mechanical ability, Kevin. So I always felt less than my dad, because my dad could do anything.
He
built our house. So I get off the school bus once because the bus stop was at my house. It didn't start out at my house. It started out up the street. My father went to he didn't go to the school board. He went to the bus drive. He goes, what's your name? Okay. My wife. You married? Yeah, me too. I got a wife. And I got to walk the kid to the bus stop because she doesn't want the kid. You know, she's nervous, my wife. Yours too? Yeah. Okay. Can't do it. Got to go to work. I would consider it a personal favor if you would pick him up outside the house so my wife could see him out the window and I can go to work. Sir, you have to go through the proper channels. If I go through the proper channels, it's going to be a bigger problem than I want to deal with. Can you help me? Please say yes. It's going to go better for the both of us. Guy would stop, just stop and pick me up.
Have breakfast ready for you the whole night.
That was it. He'd stop and pick me up. So he would drop me off there, too. I come home one day. My father's on a rented bulldozer cutting a circular driveway in our front lawn.
Italians do love a circuit. They like to be able to pull in and get right back.
Oh, yeah. My father, that's what he said. But they would argue. My mother and father were arguing over, Joe, why do we need a circular driveway? Because I don't like to back up. So he rented a bulldozer. I remember I jumped on the bulldozer. I go, Pop, what are we doing? We're cutting a driveway. When did you learn how to do this? What learn? We're doing it. And that's what he did.
We were kind of the same way. My dad was mechanical contractor. My stepdad was more car, like he owned he built home improvement houses and stuff like that. We were the family where we had so many like half finished projects on the house. Like up until honestly like a year or two ago, I think because I started publicly making fun of my mom for it, that there was a half the foundation of a shed was in our backyard. For 12 years, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're at construction work. You have all of the tools. It's all in the garage. But it's just like, you know, it's like the roofer who's got the worst roof on the block.
Oh, yeah. You want to know how my father was in the kitchens and bathrooms? Do you know how long we had a pair of vice grips that would turn the hot water on and off?
That's big, man. The set of vice grips. Yeah.
Yeah. On the hot water. That's what turned it on, and we had a piece of duct tape on the wall, so you knew that when the handle of the vice grip was parallel to that's off.
That's all. There you go. Yeah, it's, I mean, hey, it works. It's a solution, baby.
Yeah. Everything was like that. See, I don't have the mechanical, but you do, I think, and I suspect at this point in our lives, you just said, I'm making some money. I'm going to call the guy. I don't want to be bothered. Even on the road, I don't mind spending money for convenience anymore.
But I've done the road the worst way of like sleeping on a guy's couch,
yeah,
and waiting for the bus 15. And I'm just going like, it's worth the little bit of comfort is worth. I'm like, I would even pay, I'll pay $1 million to not have to like figure out the bus system in Toledo.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, we're taking an Uber. Okay. I'm not doing this again. I'm not getting lost. Like, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. I figured out a couple of road hacks, just for my convenience. Like I know I always have a little extension cord in my bag.
Good.
For the
That's
hotel
really
room.
Really good.
For the hotel, because the plug's never near the bed.
So wow, that's a great one. I'm doing that.
Yeah, take that one. Whenever you get into a hotel suite, open up the fridge, turn the temperature down. It's all the way up. You're gonna freeze whatever the hell you put in there.
I know. Why do they do that?
That's
so strange. And it's like that the top level of the like they have like the freezer. Some mm-hmm. of them have the freezer, and then the shelf under that. Even that'll freeze. That'll freeze the water in like 10 minutes.
Yeah, I got a coffee because now, thank God, when I travel, this coffee maker's in the room. I used to buy a coffee maker. I used to buy, it was
oh,
20
I love
bucks.
That. That's fascinating to me because you're like, what's a coffee maker go for?
It's 20 bucks.
20 bucks.
Mr. Coffee out of Walgreens.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's the most impressive thing I've heard in show business. That's you're playing chess, not checkers over there. That's fantastic.
Yeah, you buy the coffee maker, you get the and so I always had like I would actually travel with coffee filters because you buy a pack, you're going to use them anyway. It's the same Mr. Coffee at the Walgreens, and you have your coffee, and then so I would put the vanilla creamer that I like. I buy it, I'd put it in the freezer, I put it in the refrigerator, and it would freeze. So that's how mm-hmm. I knew how to turn everything down.
Damn.
But yeah, I was a mess on the road. I ate. More than one occasion, I would eat fried rice out of an ice bucket with a shoehorn.
Nothing about that sentence is correct.
No, nothing. But you would get fried rice, the shoehorn. No, they would forget to bring a utensil. So now I travel with chopsticks and sets of utensils, and I got it in my bag.
Oh, that's amazing,
yeah.
Man! Wow, that just blew my mind. Man, that's so good because I'm so used to being like, okay. You're like staying on the side of like, you know, whatever turnpike of whatever place you're in.
Yeah.
And like you open up the door, you're like, all right, highways, let's go. You know,
yeah.
I tell people, have you ever seen a guy walking down a road? You're not supposed to be walking down. There's a good chance that's a middle act somewhere. You know what I mean? There's a really good chance that guy's got two shows tonight where he's making $100 a clip.
Yep.
And he's trying to find a dollar menu somewhere.
Yep. And he's walking home with his takeout dinner he got at the Shea 76 station.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's like, I had that realization moment walking down, like, I was jumping the barrier to like the Pennsylvania Turnpike or something. And I'm like, what am I doing, man? This is crazy. Now I just go, I don't care. I'll lose money. I mean, you're not going to lose, but I'm just going like, I don't care if I only make $7 this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm being comfortable and not trying to, you know, play Frogger on a highway.
Yeah, but it's a better, it also, for me, Kevin, once I started doing that, my shows were better because it wasn't, yeah, you too.
You feel better.
Yeah.
You don't feel like you're being abused. You know what I mean? You're like, oh, I feel good. I feel great. I'm rested. I didn't have to, you know, walk a half hour. I had a good meal, like all this. I'm a big proponent of that now.
Yeah. You're not coming from lack, you know?
Yes. That's it. You feel full spiritually, yeah. Mentally, physically. You're full. You're going, oh, I feel great. Like, let's go have fun rather than looking at it as an obligation as well. Like, shit, now we got to go do this. I was out all day. I was mm-hmm. walking, the food stuff. Now I got to go do these shows.
You're yeah.
Like, oh, cool. I get to do these shows.
Yeah.
Let's go have fun.
That's it. Have to and want to. That's great. Yeah, that's very well put.
Yeah, I'm trying to wrestle with all that now that we're like on the road a lot too. And like, are we, you know, You had Foley on. He's not the most, you know, he's a bigger guy. So it's like you're traveling with, you know, that's a lot. Dude.
Yeah,
you know
he's
I mean?
A bigger like, guy. And I suspect he's not really taking that good care of himself either.
He's I mean, now that my financial future is invested in him, I'm like, I'll get you a trainer. I'll get you life, whatever you need. You know?
Yeah,
he is slowing. He is getting better. But it's also like we're constantly in the last row of the plane. Cause yeah. That's just how, you know, we got to cut some corners.
Sure. So.
We're constantly in the last row of the plane, and it's like me and him, like fucking wedged in like a regional Delta jet.
Yeah, you do have a great travel joke about being in New York. I want to play this one because this made me laugh.
I got spit on the other day on the subway. Has that ever happened to you guys? It has, yeah. I've asked that question a couple of times. The answers I've gotten back are, "Oh my God, that's disgusting." I've gotten back, "Yeah, it's New York. That can happen." And I had one lady was like, "Yeah, I spit on people." I want to blame New York, I do, but I can't because he was a crazy person and there's crazy people everywhere. Could have happened in any city across the country. Worst part about it, when this guy spit on me, we were stopped. Yeah. And he got off the train. And then as the doors were closing, he spit back on the train. So there was a beat pulled away. There was nothing I could do. I got anger issues. So I jumped up. I took my jacket off. I threw it on the ground. And I was like, "You son of a bitch, motherfucker." And then I realized no one else on the train saw him spit on me. So he just turned me into the crazy guy on the train. He was like, "Tag, you're it, motherfucker."
That made me laugh. You know what made me laugh? Because you went, "Look, I got anger issues."
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a straight shooter. I'll give it to you how it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I got a couple of issues over here.
I was like, I got to ask him about that because I got the same thing.
It's just that, you know, blue collar, Irish cat, you know, it's never addressed. And like I said, even last weekend, I was at a party, a family party. I'm like, this might end in a headlock.
Yeah.
And it's just normalized. I don't know. The anger of like my dad growing up or like, you know, me and my brother, it was just normal. So now like I'll yell and my wife's like, "Oh my God." And I'm like,
"That's it. That's it.
I'm just talking to you."
Yeah. No. Yeah. I'm not yelling. Yeah. That's it's a conditioned response that we don't know we have until we get outside the family. And my wife, the same thing, you know, my wife pointed it out and I was like, "What's the matter with you?" And then I went, "It's me."
Yeah, I know it's tough. And like, the older I get and the more like I slow down and, you know, you become introspective and you try to take, you know, understand what you're doing and why. I do see that it's, you know, it was all my upbringing and it's me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like we were, this was like maybe like a year, 6 months ago, I was sitting down, me and my wife, and I was just in a shit mood. And we sit down for dinner. It was a plate of pasta, right? We're sitting there and I'm like, and we get into it. It was about money or something. And like, I just,
yeah.
And that's what I saw my dad losing about all of it. It's just a conditioned response. And I turn into my dad. I'm like, "I just sat down for dinner and you dropped this shit on me now. Like, I can't have anything." You know
what I mean? "Can I just enjoy a pork chop for 10 minutes, please?"
Dude, I feel like I'm 34 years old. It's 2021. The second I feel a little bit of inconvenience, I feel like a 1950s dad. Like, I lose it. I'm like, "I can't, I'm in a factory all day for this shit." You dropped me that way. I lose it. And I was like, "Well," and my wife had never met, still hasn't met my dad because we haven't been talking for that long.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, "Well, you say you wanted to meet my father. You just met. He was just at, you just had dinner with my dad."
Yeah. And is your wife from Germany?
She is. She moved here right before the pandemic. So we got married, I think, 2 or 3 weeks before quarantine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, trial by fire. Let's see if this is going to work.
I was like, "I'm in it, baby. I mean, what are we doing here? Let's go.
Me and you, Fraulein." That's good.
Exactly. But it's working out. So it's, you know.
Well, it's good. I hear you talk about it on the podcast a lot. So did you have to explain, "Are you garbage" to her, the premise of the show?
No, because her parents are actually, she's Eastern European. So mm-hmm. She was just born. Her parents are Czech and then they moved to Germany. So her parents grew up with the immigrant mentality of like, you know, She tells me that they would buy jackets and wear them for the winter with the tags on and then go back and return them in the fall. You know what I mean? Like, that's
yes.
So like it's all over. It's just it's just a mentality that we're tapping.
I was on the road, Kevin. I was doing this. I was in Indiana. I had to do this local TV show called Snickers Tonight or something. What do I know? Right. I went to the Sears because I'm a big mover and shaker.
Got that Sears money, baby.
Got the jacket, left, tucked the tag in, wore the jacket on the show, returned it the next day.
Love that. That's good. That's a power move. That's smart, baby. I mean, you know, Sears doesn't care.
No. Half a Sears sucker. That's what I got.
Yeah. So she's aware, and I get stuff from her too, because like even like cultural, watching her do something or her doing something, I see it in me because I go, well, we don't. And I've said this on the pod before, because my mom grew up like relatively poor. Like mm-hmm. I just found like I'm starting to. They also don't talk about stuff like that, you know.
So oh yeah.
She grew up. There was 11 people in a 2 or maybe 3 bedroom house.
Mm.
I believe it was 2, but I could be wrong. I mean, like my grandfather was a cop. Mm-hmm. I don't think my grandmother really worked. So you know. Also, that's an insane thing to be able to raise 9 kids on a cop salary.
Sure.
In Philadelphia, but my mom has these rules of like, oh no, we don't do that. So like I grew up with these things because in her head, she's like your dad goes, I got to have a Cadillac.
Right.
I don't care what it takes. I'm having a Cadillac. Like my mom has like from growing up, her parents instilled in her like, oh, there's certain things we don't do. So we don't appear poor.
Okay.
So I always just kind of viewed those as trashy too. And now I'm seeing that as I get older, I'm like, oh, I have these weird rules in my head that things are trapped like milk with dinner to us.
Right.
They viewed that as like a poor thing. And now I don't know. Did you guys?
Yeah. Yeah. You get milk with dinner.
Like milk with pasta and shit.
Yeah. You get milk with pasta. You can't wear a hat in the house or at the table.
That was, oh yeah. The hat in the house was okay. Table. No way. Take the hat off.
Yeah. You got to take your hat off. And God forbid you get caught playing outside in your school clothes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Your nice clothes. If you get, you know, change clothes, if you're going outside, change clothes.
Yeah. And we yelled at for growing.
It's all the milk with dinner.
Now we got to buy new Sears Tough Skins. You want to know? Okay. This is garbage. When you're going to school in the next grade and your mother has to let the hem down in those jeans. Ooh. And you had the hemline.
That was always, I remember the one time I got a pair of jeans. They were like the cool jeans or whatever. And I'm like, I begged for like the pair. Because they got when I was in elementary school, I guess the bigger, baggier jeans. That's when like that got in.
Yeah.
Like, the '90s. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, cool. And I wanted them, and I got them. And like in the store, they look so cool. I'm like, I look like the guy in the commercial. I look like the guy on MTV. I can't wait to get to school tomorrow and flex. And my mom goes, these are too big. We have to hem them. And I remember being like, what? So she did it. I think she did it. She doesn't sew.
Right.
She was just like, I'm like, she busted out like that tin cookie can, mm-hmm. got the thread out and tried to do it herself. And they turned into flood pants, but they were also so wide that it looked like I was just wearing a dress. You know what I mean? Like the legs were so wide, but she shorted them. So they just looked like, it looked like I was like a nun or something. You know what I mean? I was like this, they don't look like this on MTV.
My mother would buy pants that were longer when we were little so she could get another year out of them.
Oh yeah. And then you can let them out.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty good.
That was all right. Let's play. Are you garbage with you? I did this with Folden. I'm going to ask you some of the same questions to see if we get the same answers. Are you garbage if you think the Hess truck is a great gift for Christmas?
Yes, to me, yes. That, yeah. We always looked at those, and I had friends that had them, but I never understood. I'm like, this is a gas station. What are you doing? I never got that. I'm like, my logic as a kid, I remember, and people are like, no, they're so cool.
Yeah.
The Christmas and everything. I go, well, you never buy any other fucking presents at a gas station. Why is this? You know what I mean? Like, it's not like they have an assortment of presents you can give out.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Here's a fan belt.
Here's that funnel you always wanted.
Are you garbage if you have duct tape on your car?
Yeah, as a guy who's had a lot of things that shouldn't have been on his car to keep it in place, that's a bad look.
That's a pretty easy one. But yeah, you wash your car with a squeegee.
Well, I just got a new car. I leased a 2001 Kia, not bragging.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to have this old beat up Mercury Montego, and like, it's a New York car. So sometimes you would park under a tree and I would leave it for a week and you come back and it's like,
yeah, it's a mess.
It's just, I mean, there's trash and bird shit on it and everything. And, you know, I would only, in New York, you only drive your car in like necessity. You know what I mean? Like, it's always like, oh, and you're typically running late. Like, oh, I got to get to this gig or I got to go here. So I'd get in my car and it would be so disgusting. And I would pull up to the gas station and just take the squeegee. And it would start with like, ah, oh, let me get this one little spot over here on the windshield. Let me do the side windows. And the next thing you know, I'm on the tires. I'm like, I'm doing the lights. I'm doing every. Yeah, I did my whole car within the past probably 6 months.
And you know you're garbage if someone asks to borrow your car and you have to tell them all the wacky shit you need to they need to do to get it to run correctly.
Yeah. No, I had a buddy of mine. I was actually in Germany visiting my wife, and my buddy who I was living with at the time was like, hey, can I borrow your car? And I just thought he was scooting around the neighborhood. Otherwise, I would have given him the laundry list of like, hey, you know, you can't just start driving. You know what I mean? Like, this is like a spaceship. You got to know what you're doing.
Yeah, if you step on the brakes, pretty much you're making a left turn. So counter steer.
Whether you want to or not, we're going left, okay? And he took it to drive to Boston or something. And it broke down in like Connecticut after like, you know, 90 minutes of driving. And he's like, your car broke down. I'm like, well, where is it? He's like, in Connecticut. I'm like, well, I wouldn't have. I would have told you that it didn't have legs to get to Boston. I thought you were like, you know, I thought you were going to the Macy's or something.
My buddy borrowed my car once, and he called me from the road. It won't start. Yes, it will. All right. Sit in there. First of all, make sure it's really in park. Take the it's got to be in park. I know it says it's in park. It's not
in park. You got to really get
park.
It in there.
Get it in park. Now there's a safety neutral switch on the column. You got to wiggle that. Turn the key, wiggle. I'm talking him like one of those old airport movies where the guy in the tower is talking the flight attendant into landing the plane. You can do this. You can do this. Focus.
Yeah. His buddy's in the front seat with the owner's manual trying to find it. I had that my old Montego. It would get. It was a thing with Mercury's. Mm-hmm. Where the shifter would get stuck in park.
Yeah,
and it just got stuck in park. And if I was on a hill, parked down a little, it was worse than sometimes. But I just had to sit there and try to keep clicking the button to disengage it so I could move it. And sometimes you got it on the first try, and sometimes, I mean, for like 15-20 minutes I would just be sitting in like a mall parking lot just like clicking it or at a gas station at the pump where like it wouldn't, and people are in line behind me honking and I'm just sitting in my car. I'm like, no, it doesn't move, man. It does. I'm trying here.
I would have to. I had an old Buick and I had to turn it off in neutral so it wouldn't diesel. The nice thing about having a lousy car in my family was my father could fix it. And this is when I knew, because I love cars, Kevin, but I don't have that mechanical ability.
Sure.
But my father, he can fix anything. You know, he can give me that book of matches. I'll gap the spark plug with that. I'm like, oh, okay. Like he doesn't even use the right tools. Yeah. He built a whole kitchen with a butter knife. I don't know how the hell the guy did it.
I remember one time we were 16. We went on like a ski trip. It was me, my brother, my cousins. I was like the young. They had just turned 16 and got their license. So I was probably 12.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom's like, you shouldn't be going with them, but I'm going to let, you know, it was like they were really just going to like, you know, smoke cigarettes and whatever, you know, just get away, like be on their own. And I tagged along and the car broke down. But we call my stepdad, who was like the engine guy, like big car guy, big engine guy. And I look over at he pops the hood. He's got a hose in his mat. Like he's part of the car. Like he's going rev it. And he's got his mat. And I'm like, what in the shit is going on, dude? He's got a hose in his mouth.
What was he doing?
To this day, I don't know that. And also one time my brother had this old red Jeep, like the old big box red Jeep back in the day. Thing was a tank. And the car, something happened. The car wasn't, I don't know, something with the drive. I don't know what it was. And my stepdad, it's the middle of the night. My stepdad meets him on the side of, or meets us on the side of the road, and he gets under the car. All right. He's just under the, he has like a wrench or like a pair of channel locks or something. And like, he comes out with a piece of like a big long piece of metal over his shoulder. He goes, all right, you're good to drive. And like, I don't know what that thing does, but I think we need it.
Wait a minute. We didn't make this car at IKEA.
They didn't give us extra parts that we were, 3-4 foot long piece of metal. He's like, all right, you're good.
So it's four-wheel drive. Now it's front-wheel drive.
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what I think it happened. But we were like, what? You just took half the car.
Oh, that's great. I remember my father taught me how to siphon gas. Because there was
that's a big one, yeah.
The gas shortage. Because the gas shortage hit Long Island, where I was from, right? And we had a boat, right? And my father would fill up the tank of the boat. So that's a 72-gallon tank in this Sea Ray we had. So, and he would say, you take the bucket, your brother holds the bucket, take this hose, now watch. And he would, and this is how we get gas out in a bucket, right? Yeah. And he's doing it, here, hold my Lucky. There's a lit cigarette.
Keep it lit, don't let it go out.
Yeah.
Don't let it go out. That's great.
What is the most garbage thing you've run across on your show?
There was a couple of things. One of the things, and I fully might have said it, but if he didn't, it was, this is typically the one that we use. You had, I think I had Joe List on, right? You know Joe.
Yeah, I had Joe on the show.
So Joe's wife, Sarah, we had on the show as well. We had Joe a couple of times. We had Sarah Tolomash, and she lets milk go bad. Not lets it go bad, but if she buys a gallon of milk and it goes bad, she saves the milk and then takes an old t-shirt and makes ricotta cheese out of it.
Is that garbage?
That's insane to me.
I don't know if that's garbage as much as if it's industrious. I wouldn't
it
know.
It is. She's like, well, I don't want to waste it. I'm like, well, it's garbage to me because I go,
just go buy cheese.
How much is a tub of ricotta cheese? $3.29. What are we doing here? Go get it real and fresh. The people who make the ricotta cheese know what they're doing. They're not doing it. You know what I mean? There's a reason they're in the store. They're in the store for a reason. It's
good. Yeah. Joe, here's some wife beater ricotta. I made it with your t-shirt.
I'm like, you're doing it. I mean, you're not even using a cheesecloth. If you were going to, a cheesecloth is like $2.99. What are you doing? Like, you're using an old t-shirt.
That's funny.
Yeah, that was probably the most jarring. That sits with me, the crazy. Because in the way she said it, too.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, I make my own cheese out of expired milk. I was like,
yeah, this was the garbage move. Was my Uncle Frank used to, I played a guitar. My Uncle Frank used to play the guitar, right? And he would make guitar picks out of the plastic tops of coffee cans.
Oh, wow.
He would just cut them out, and they weren't strong enough, so it was just like,
yeah, they're flimsy.
Yeah, flimsy. So I played a lot of Spanish guitar because that's the pick I had. So I learned to flutter like Pete Townsend. So I'm a big Who fan, because when I was a kid, I'm like, oh, I can do this.
Yeah, wow, that's funny. Yeah. That's wild. That's a wild one.
Yeah. I really enjoy the show, my friend. I think it's very unique, and and I look forward to seeing it. Tell people where they can get it.
Yeah, it's available wherever you get podcasts, on iTunes, Spotify. There's full video available on YouTube, stuff like that. And then I'm at Kevin Ryan Comedy on all social media. And we'd love to have you when you're in New York.
I'm coming, and I want to do the show. Thank you so much, my friend.
It would be an honor for you to do the show. I would love it.
Be well and best to you and the family, brother.
All right, thank you.
The ADD interview was brought to you by CruiseIntoWellness.com. CruiseIntoWellness.com for all your CBD needs. Now, let's say you work for your father. The truck broke down. You needed to get supplies to the job, so he rented a Dodge Neon.
Me and my brother are dry. He's behind me. He's in the back seat of the car. I'm in the front seat, and we have lengths of copper pipe just holding it out, like just driving down the street like this with the hazards on.
This could cause you a little anxiety, so why don't you do what I do? Take one of the gummies they have at cruiseintowellness.com. They also have edibles, tinctures, bath products, pet products, and you know you get 20% off with the coupon code Adam. Yes, you do. You know why? Because you're special. 20% off anything they have at cruiseintowellness.com. Go feel better.
I'm Kevin Ryan, and that's 30 minutes I'll never get back.
I really enjoyed getting to know him. He is a very funny guy, and I really do like the show.
I know. I really loved hearing you guys talk.
Mark, are you eating toast?
You moron. Are you eating?
I'm having one piece. I'm sorry. Good.
Mark, I want you to know I listened to the interview, but I also looked up that Revolution toaster.
Stop it.
It has virtual pictures of toast.
This episode's going to cost me $300. I know.
Oh, my goodness. I was like, wow, I've never seen anything like this.
Okay, it's toast, all right? It's not a Fabergé egg.
Actually, it's really pretty. Can I see that color of that toast that you just chomped on?
Oh, look. Oh, yeah. Look, we lost the connection.
Oh, yeah, it's great. Look at that.
Oh, look.
It's
see, that's pretty toast, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
It tastes so good. Now, let me ask you, Adam.
Go ahead.
That's not garbage, is it?
What?
No.
My toaster and this toast, that's not garbage.
If it costs more than $60, it's not garbage.
No, but a diet of bread and water is not exactly.
No. Yeah. You know,
living the high life.
They actually used to give that to prisoners to stop them up.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Yeah. They would die with a clogged digestive system.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Stern's going to die with a clogged digestive system and an empty bank account because he spent $300 on toast. Okay, you did. You spent $300 to be comfortable. I did the same thing. When I was on the road and I wanted to be comfortable, I would buy a $20 coffee maker and just leave it there. I'd give it to the housekeeping ladies.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's a good call, man.
Yeah,
you know?
But it's 20. It was $20 when I was on the road. It wasn't $300. But
okay. Did you really eat Chinese food with a shoehorn? Tell me that was a joke.
Nope, more than once. And I'll tell you why.
Disgusting.
Okay, they didn't pack. There was no utensils in the bag. So I found a shoehorn. I'm like, all right, this will work. But the container the fried rice came in was too small. So I was flipping fried rice all over the place. I'm like, I need a bigger bowl. I'm like, look at the ice bucket. There you go.
Perfect. I've seen him do it, Mark.
Yeah.
Not pretty. Not
it's
pretty.
Awful. A shoehorn? Yeah. Really?
Well, you wash it first.
I've had to take it out of his hand.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But now I've learned. I pack, you know, I have utensils with me and chopsticks. You know why I have the chopsticks? I like to eat with chopsticks because I eat like an escaped prisoner. It's just the way.
Just shovel it in your mouth.
Just
right?
Sparks flying off the plate. It's just the way we grew up. So the chopsticks actually slow me down.
But I get that. You know, Alex, when you're on the road, like, is there stuff you bring to make yourself more comfortable?
Yeah.
Yeah, every piece of clothing she owns.
No, that's what I used to do. You know that, Adam. That's what I used to do. I learned my lesson when...
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'll tell you a story. So, well, I was on the road for 20 years before I met Alex, and I never checked a bag. Fell in love, got married. After that, I never not checked a bag when traveling with my wife.
Until?
Until what?
I lost a freaking shoe. Someone stole, actually, my shoe.
Someone stole a shoe. Not a pair of shoes.
Just
a
one.
Shoe out of a check-in bag.
I was so mad.
From your check bag, they stole one shoe?
Yes. I'm like, can't you just take both? At least I know you're going to put it with an outfit.
Yep.
No, one shoe.
Yep, which is going to make it easy to find. We're looking for a one-legged guy in a Jimmy Choo.
Oh, I'm so mad.
I know, but that's the point. I said, don't give anybody control over your stuff. It's going to waste time, and it's just another opportunity for things to go wrong.
So I just, now I can consolidate.
Yeah.
But there is something that I do have to bring.
What?
My makeup mirror.
Yeah, a makeup mirror.
Just, you know, it's one of those things.
Yeah, and it's round with light bulbs. And
is it big?
As long as it fits.
Yeah, it fits. But I get it. That's what makes you feel comfortable, and you learn on the road what to do. It's like I learned to turn down the refrigerator because it would freeze everything. I don't know why it is in every hotel room.
Every time you're like, I'm just going to put this bottle of water in there, and then it's an ice cube in like 5 minutes.
Remember the minibar thing when you said I don't know what it was. I got to the hotel first, and you said, "Do we have a fridge?" And I looked, and there was a minibar, and I said, "Yeah, we do." And remember, I emptied the minibar, but I didn't realize it was weighted and you get charged.
Yeah. Yeah. She was doing a great thing. Cost me $1,200. I could have bought four toasters for that kind of money.
Oh, my goodness. Why do they do that? Mm-hmm. That's like,
how much,
come on.
Yeah. How much are these almonds? These almonds are $75 for five of them?
And if you move it... It's you own it.
Yeah, and I had to go down and argue with them. I did learn this, too. If you're in a hotel room and they don't give you a fridge, you call up and go, listen, I need to keep medication cold. And I think legally they have to give you a fridge.
Ooh, oh, that's good note. To know.
Yeah.
See, that's a great life hack. Yeah, a great road hack. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Another thing you taught me what? Is if you do not bring your plug, usually they have a plug downstairs because everybody leaves them.
Oh, yeah. You go down there, you go, listen, last time I was here, I left my plug in the room. Can I just check the lost and found? And they come out with a big box and you could just pull one out.
Yeah, wow. What are they going to do with them?
Yeah, they have big boxes of lost and found. Or you can just say, did the cleaning staff find a plug in the room? Can I check the lost and found? Because sometimes they go, oh, when was your last visit? And they can, I got screwed that way.
Yeah, because they're like, our records don't show that, Mr. Ferrara.
Yeah, no, no, like I was traveling under another name. What was Rockefeller?
Another name.
I like the fact that apparently, Adam, you and Kevin have the same dad.
Yes, and they both had a profound effect on our personalities.
Yes, yeah. And yelled, apparently.
Yeah.
Lot, right?
It was funny when he started yelling, and his wife goes, you know, I never met your father. You just did.
Now, Alex, I know you've actually met Adam's dad, but has Adam's dad ever made an appearance when you guys are having dinner or something like that?
Well, I was going to say, he's made an appearance every time Adam wakes up.
Yeah.
Every time Adam wakes up, I see it.
Yeah.
You make these noises. Oh, oh.
Yeah. You know why, honey?
Why?
Shit hurts. That's why.
You're carrying the weight of the world on your shoulders,
yes.
Adam. That's what I hear.
Yeah.
Every morning.
That's how my father, I was my father downstairs. Like, I don't know how this place stayed spinning before I was born. Jesus Christ.
You mean Earth? The planet Earth?
Everybody.
And by the way, that's the voice. I know you guys are joking about the Italian voice. That voice comes, I hear that all the time, okay? Except usually you're spouting off Marcus Aurelius to me, but it's in the voice of a crime boss. So I'm like, I better take this seriously. I'm going to get my kneecaps broken.
I know. I have to apologize. It's just the way it comes out of my mouth. I love you and I want to help, but it just sounds like, hey, you want to know something? You have the power over your mind, all right? Look at me. Power over your mind, not outside events, all right? Once you realize this, you will find strength, all right? Smarten up.
All right, boss. I'll take care of that.
All right? Yeah. Hey, listen to me. Waste no time arguing about what a good man should be, all right? Get off your ass and be one.
Well, keep in mind, Marcus Aurelius was an Italian, so that's probably exactly how he talked, you know?
Your soul becomes dyed with the color of your thoughts, you moron. You know what Marcus Aurelius also said? No piece of toast is worth $300.
All right, you heard the boss, all right? Throw away the toast, all right? Clear your mind. All right, let's go. Love that.
Adam,
love that.
So I hear this, and I don't know how many people have seen some of your acting stuff.
Yes.
But you do use pop in some of your acting characters, right?
I would say the first year of Rescue Me, it was my father yelling at me, and I was yelling at Dennis and everybody else.
I can hear it. Yeah. I can hear it.
The strange thing is like when I am my father, especially in a situation where I think I got to make a point, I find a great deal of calmness in my interpretation of my dad, but it does come out a little intimidating to others.
Yes. Yes. It's smart as hell, but it is intimidating. So you got to kind of take a step back and then, you know.
Yeah, because I remember my father was always smart. He's like, listen, a man's not judged on his entrance. He's judged on his exit, all right? So if you got a problem with a guy, never draw attention to yourself in anger. You make a graceful exit. You go, you know what? May I talk to you for a minute over here? And then you bring the guy over and you calmly and quietly threaten him.
It does sound like he's going to get whacked.
Yeah.
Goodness.
It really does.
That would scare the heck out of me.
Yeah, but my father was like 6'2", 6'3", built like a water heater. You know, I can't get away with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. The voice, it gets you there. Because at the end of it all, I'm waiting for you to like slap me in the back of the head and say, all right, now go make yourself a sandwich. Come on, get out of here.
Go make yourself some toast.
Right. And I'll tell you this, though. The thing I loved about both your dads and my dad was like this. They could fix anything.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Just reached under the car. Yeah, get this huge hunk of metal out of here. Now it was four-wheel drive. Now it's all with the front-wheel drive, whatever. Like, it's just amazing that our dads could do that. Mm-hmm. I can't fix anything.
Yeah.
And those guys could do it all.
Yeah, well, it's like once they set their mind to it, they can do it.
So I was I had an issue when I was born. I got a bone in my hip that didn't form right. So the doctor put me in a cast, and I kept going back, and I go, another week, another week, another week. And one day they went back and the doctor had to go on vacation. So they went back for the appointment and they saw the guy filling in for him, and we were supposed to get the cast off. And I was a baby. And he said, yeah, we're going to keep it on for another 2 weeks till he gets back from vacation. My father went, no, we're not. Give me the saw. And the guy went, we're going to call my mother and ask this question. And the guy and my father took the saw and cut the cast off me.
That's brilliant.
He did it. And I remember walking out. My mother said, and don't you dare charge me. And he got Louise, get in the car. And that was it.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. No, we're not. It's coming off today, pal.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And make things work, like siphoning gas. My father actually showed me and my brother how to siphon gas out of the boat.
While he's smoking.
With a cigarette. Yeah. Hold my cigarette. Remember, safety first. Now, exactly. the bucket has to be lower because gravity's going to help it down. So you suck this hose, spits out gas. It goes, see that? Right, you see how it flows? All right, give me back the cigarette. No, don't give me a cigarette.
I can't believe he was smoking a cigarette.
He was.
Are you sure you didn't make that up?
I was there.
Oh, goodness.
That's exactly who I picture your dad being.
Yeah.
I'm not afraid of a little fire. Yeah. I got a cigarette here and gas. I ain't afraid of nothing. Siphon it, like I told you. All right, kid?
I just lit this.
Smoking right calms me down.
Oh, God. Yeah, my father, he would get you out of emotions pretty quick, you know, especially when you would come home, especially with disappointment. I'm like, ah, man. He goes, what's the matter, kid? He's like, oh, Pop, it's not fair. He goes, and who told you life was fair? Ooh. It ain't. You got to do something about it. So what are you going to do about it?
Well, you're saying all this, but I know Pop from a different angle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you want to have some limoncello?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, Pop, let's go.
Yeah, but you met Pop after he had a long life and we were grown up and out of the house. He could mellow a little bit.
I don't know.
Yeah, no, I do. I do. I told you the speech that we got in the house when me and my brothers came up. We don't think this is fair. Really? Okay. You live in a dictatorship. Your mother and I are the dictators. The minute you feel you have a vote as to what goes on in this house, just sit down till that feeling goes away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of how it works.
Yeah,
it's old school dads. And listen, it kills me that I never got to meet your dad, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I would have always dressed him as sir, yes, sir. Like there would have been a couple of sirs involved in there. Yes, sir, Mr. Ferrara, sir. Absolutely, sir. I'm going to go move my car. It will not be parked in your driveway ever again, sir. Mm-hmm.
All right. You're a good. I'll be my father. You're a good kid, Mark. All right. Don't worry about it. What kind of car you got?
I have a BMW convertible, sir.
That's big enough. Do me a favor. Take these two links of pipe, run them out to the job for me, will you?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. And I would. I'd go. Yeah.
That killed me. He's in a Dodge Neon with two lengths of copper pipe sticking out the windows driving to a job. I mean, that.
Hey, you got
to
do what you got to do sometimes.
That was my whole childhood. Just make it work.
Yeah, exactly. Make it work.
Yeah.
You know?
We don't have the money. How are you going to get around it? Okay. Let's figure this out. You know how many times my little Pop Warner football had shoelaces for laces because they would break open?
What is that?
I had a little Pop Warner football. It was a football. And we used to play football in the street. And we don't want to play with a Nerf. So the football would get all chewed up. And eventually the laces would get chewed up and they would open up and there's a big bubble coming out of it. So what you got to do is you let the air out. You push the bubble back in. You take a shoelace off an old boot or something. You put the shoelace where the laces go and you blow it back up.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't hold for very long, but that's what you got to do.
So your Pop showed you that or what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, he did that first?
He did it first and he goes, all right. Then we got in trouble because outside his bedroom one day I heard, who took my friggin' shoelace out of my work boot? The hell is wrong with you? I got to work to make money so we all can eat. And if anyone spends $300 on toast, I'll break their arm.
Run, Mark, run.
I want to thank Kevin Ryan for making time for us. His podcast is called Are You Garbage? And I recommend it. It's a lot of fun. Honey, if they want to get a hold of us, where do they go?
TheAdamFerrara@gmail.com.
And thank you so much telling somebody you love about the show. The show is growing. It's all because of you. We appreciate the support. As always, if you can give us a review, that helps us with our friend.
Mr. Algorithm.
Please remember, life is hard. You take it easy on yourself. Pod has ended. Go in peace. Mark will spend money on a toaster that does the same thing as every other toaster, but because he gets letters from his friends, he feels like he's joined a revolution. He's ready to kill Bolsheviks. I get it.
Da. Yes, comrade.
Oh, yes. Stormy Sour Target Market.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.